Hello and welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today God's Word will encourage your heart. And through this broadcast, the few minutes that I have with you, stay with me and let God's Word speak to your heart. Let God's Word reach down and stir your heart and souls today. Today I want to read out of 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. And today I want to talk about compromising, but first I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you reach down and all across these airways, wherever this broadcast is going. I ask, God, that you reach down and touch the hearts of the men and the women. Oh, God, let us know that this is not the time to compromise with the enemy. This is not the time to give in and to quit and back up and think we can make peace with people that's wanting to kill us and make it known of what they want to do to us. But, God, give us a backbone to stand. Give this nation a backbone to stand. Give our leaders a backbone to stand for what's right, morally right, and what's right in your word. God, I pray in Jesus' name, touch us today. For those that are listening, I ask that you touch their bodies. Touch their finances. Bring home their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Whatever the need is, God, reach down and supply it today. For those I pray specially incarcerated today, Lord, that you reach down and encourage their hearts through your word today. Give them hope, give them strength, and give them courage to face the days that they got to face. Set the captives free according to your will and your word. And I pray, Lord, that you reach down, and if there be one that's not born again, that, oh God, today you'll let them know that they must be born again. They must receive Jesus, Savior. And the only way into you, Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for hearing and answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about compromise. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, before I read the scripture that I want to read, I want to give you a little background what had happened here. David was king over Israel, and God, we know, had set him up. He had run from King Saul for many years. He lived in caves, and he ran for his life, and he was the slayer of Goliath, and he was a mighty warrior for God's army. But in David's reign as king, as he got, didn't have to run from Saul. He was living in the palace, was living at ease. And when all the others went out to war, he stayed back and he didn't go out to battle like he usually did. He stayed back and he was walking on the roof of his palace one day and looked over and saw this beautiful woman taking a bath, and her name was Bathsheba. And he looked again, and when he saw that woman taking a bath, he just didn't glance. He kept looking. And then the Bible says that David sent and inquired about her, who she was. And when he did that, the word came back, said, this woman here is the wife of Uriah. And Uriah was one of the strong fighters, one of the strong soldiers in David's army, a true soldier that was fighting for his country and for his king and for his family. Uriah was a mighty warrior, and they told David, said, Bathsheba, that's the wife of Uriah. And the Bible says that he went on and sent for her anyway. He knew he was doing wrong, and that compromise that David was getting ready to make, when he sent for that married woman, when he sent for that one that he should not have sent for, he was opening up a door to bring destruction on his kingdom, on his life, and on his family, and on the family of Uriah and Bathsheba. Let me tell you something. When you compromise your standing, when you compromise your faith and your way of living, a lot of times we think, well, I'll just do it this one time. It's not going to hurt. Nobody will know. But let me tell you, be sure your sins are going to find you out. And David knew that it was a wrong thing to do. David was told this is another man's wife. David was told whose wife she was. He knew exactly what he was doing, but he set out to compromise his faith in God. He set out to compromise his testimony. He set out to compromise his ministry. And by what he done, he marred his life forever. Even though he was called a man after God's own heart, when he done this, he brought judgment upon his whole household. And the Bible says that he sent for her, and he took her, and he lay with her. And he knew what he was doing was wrong. This is while her husband was out on the front lines fighting for David, fighting for Israel. He was laying with his wife. How low can you go? How low can you go? You say, well, that was low. Listen to the rest of the story. It gets worse as it goes on. David lay with her, and then he sent her back home. A lot of people I'm talking to, you think, well, I went out and I done this and I sent it on down the road and nobody knows about it. And yeah, I might have done wrong, but it's not going to hurt nobody but myself. How many times have I heard that? But let me tell you, you might have sent that sin back home, but sin is a boomerang. It's going to come right back on you. I don't care what you done. I don't care how many years down the road. It's going to boomerang. It's going to come back on you. That's what happened to David. The Bible says that after not many days that Bathsheba sent word to David, said, I'm with child. I'm pregnant. And we know whose baby it is because it's not my husband's, because he's out fighting. David knew that his sins was getting ready to find him out. And with what he had done, he did not stop and repent. He did not acknowledge the sin that he had committed, but then he tried to cover it up. And a lot of times you are today, I'm talking to you, are in a mess because you tried to cover up what you've done wrong. You won't bring it out in the open and you won't confess it. You're going to let it go on and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. You see, if we do what they did in the Bible, we're going to get what they got. This is an example. God didn't hide any of the flaws in his people. He showed us what would happen when you compromise your standing with God, when you compromise your word that you give, when you compromise your testimony, it's going to cost you something. And let me tell you something. Payday's coming someday, and it came quicker for David than what he thought. Bathsheba sent word that I'm pregnant. And so this is what David done. He sat down and he thought of a scheme to cover up his sin. His sin and what he done with Bathsheba. He said, I'll send for Uriah. And I'll bring him in off the front line. And I'll give him a furlough. And let him go into his wife. And then my sin will be covered up. They won't know what happened when he goes in and lays with his wife after being on the battlefield. Nobody will know what I done. So that's what he did. He sent for Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and he said, I want you to come in and take a little rest. See, Uriah got a furlough from the highest commander in Israel, King David. How many of us, we would have just said, oh, I got a furlough, I'm going home, I'm going to enjoy myself, I'm going to be with my wife, I'm going to lay in my bed, I'm going to eat my own food. But something happened. Uriah was not a compromiser. Let me tell you something. Thank God for those that are not compromisers. When David sent in, this is what he said. He said, I want you to go in. I want you to take a furlough. I want you to enjoy your home. You've been out on the battlefield. Go on in and enjoy yourself. You know, it's amazing. And I want you to think about this. People that have compromised, they want to bring you in on the scene to get you to compromise to cover up what they do it. They want to get you to come in and compromise. It's a lot of you right now are compromising in your own family. You're letting things go on in your household that should not go on. You compromising, well, that's my kid, that's my boy, that's my aunt, that's my mama, that's my daddy. If it's sin, you cannot compromise with it. If it's sin and wrong, you got to stand up against it and say, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that here. We're not going to talk like that. We're not going to act like that. If it's your house, you got a right to say so. Come on, church. David sent for Uriah. And then the next morning, a messenger came to David. And he said to David, he said, listen, Uriah laid at the gate. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't go into his wife. He wouldn't go into his home. He wouldn't lay with his wife. And this is what David done. And Uriah, when David brought him before him, he said, why didn't you go in? I give you a furlough. Why didn't you go in to your wife? And why didn't you sleep in your own bed? And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11, this is what Uriah said. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I go into mine house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul livest, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today, and tomorrow I'll let you depart. He tried it again. He even went and he got Uriah drunk, and he tried to get him drunk and go back into his wife, but he wouldn't. And you know what? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 says this, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest the bottle of thy mouth to him, and makest him drunken, also that thou mayest look upon his nakedness. David took Uriah, this valiant fighting man, who was fighting on the front lines, and got him drunk. Thought even in his drunken state, he would go on into his wife, but he did not. He laid outside the gate. He would not go in. He said, I can't take a pleasure. I can't go into my house and rest when the army of God's on the front line and they laying in fields and they fight the enemy. I can't take a furlough. I got to get back where I'm supposed to be on the firing line. Do you see anybody like that today? It seems like everybody I'm looking at nowadays is looking for a furlough. They're looking for an excuse to lay out of church. They're looking for an excuse not to go and do what God told them to. They're looking for a rest. They're looking for time off. They're looking for another. And let me tell you, I'm not against taking vacations. Thank God if you take a vacation. But listen, it ain't a vacation every weekend, is it? Every Sunday, is that a vacation? Some of you, you pop into church every now and then. When you're called on to do something in the house of God, you might do it for two or three Sundays straight. You might sing your song for two or three Sundays. You might play your instrument or teach your Sunday school class, and then we don't see you no more. You're not faithful. You're not faithful. You're just looking for an excuse to get off the firing line, to get off the battle, to go on in. But let me tell you something. Uriah would not compromise. But David tried to get him drunk. David tried to get him to go in to cover up his own sin. Beware of people who compromise, because it won't be long until you're in the boat with him. You're going to be a compromiser too. And let me tell you, when you compromise, you're spineless. Because when you compromise, you can't own up to what you've done, and you can't stand up in the face of the enemy and say, whoa, wait a minute, this thing's wrong, we're not going to do it. Because you're afraid you're going to offend somebody. You want to be politically correct, and we got a nation, and we got churches set full of preachers that have compromised the Word of God. They won't preach about the cross, because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to preach about the blood, because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to. I asked one preacher, I said, are you teaching out of the book of Revelation? He said, no, I don't want to preach out of Revelation because I don't want to scare nobody. You don't want to offend nobody. You don't want to upset nobody. You don't want to make nobody unhappy. You don't want to scare nobody. But let me tell you, in hell, when you lift up your eyes and their blood's on your hands, you're going to wish you was not a compromiser. You preachers and you teachers that are compromising the Word of God, telling people they can sin all they want to and it's all right, let me tell you, you're going to give an account for God. You're a compromiser, and you're trying to get other people to compromise. The Bible says those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, turn away from such and leave them alone. You better leave them alone. If you're in a church today that's compromising the Word of God and trying to vote on whether something is sin when God's Word says it's plainly sin, I tell you, you better pack your stuff up and you better leave in Jesus' name and tell them I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm not leaving mad. I'm not leaving angry. But I'm going to a place where they're not going to compromise. Because if you compromise, and you stay with people that compromise, it's not going to be long until you're going to be in the same boat they're in. And David told him, he said, all right, you go ahead, you stay one more night, and tomorrow I'll send you back on the front line. And that's what David done. But let me tell you what David done. As low as David had already been by laying with another man's wife, then trying to deceive the husband to go in to cover up that he had got his wife pregnant, and cover up what David had done. And if that wasn't bad enough, he wrote a letter and put it in Uriah's hand and told Uriah to give it to the captain of the army, Joab. And in that letter, David wrote this, put Uriah where the battle is the hottest. And when he's right on the front line, withdraw from him that he might be killed. And Uriah, being the faithful soldier he did, he didn't read the letter, of course. He took the letter and handed it into Joab's hand. He delivered his own death sentence David had compromised himself into a pit. And not only had he involved Bathsheba, now a baby was on the way, and now he was including the captain of the host of Israel and was going to have Uriah murdered, outright murdered. You say, Blondie, I never do nothing like that. Listen to this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And some of you in prison and jail right now will say, amen to that. I didn't mean to end up in here. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. You can't play with sin. There's an old parable that I heard a long time ago as a little girl, and I think about it a lot. It said this man was getting ready to cross this river, and it was cold and damp and rainy. And as he's getting ready to cross this river, this poisonous snake came up to him and said, please let me, take me across. I'm cold and I'm wet and I'm hurting. And if you'll just take me across, I won't you please, would you just take me across? And the man said, no, I'm not taking you across. I'm not picking you up because you're poisonous. And the snake said, I promise you, I give you my word, I will not bite you, but please let me go. Just take me across with you, please. I promise, I give you my solemn word, I'll not bite you. So the man picked the snake up, put the snake in his bosom. When he got halfway across the river, the snake bit him. The man looked at the snake and said, I thought you said you wouldn't bite me. You told me you wouldn't bite me. You gave me your word. And the snake looked back at the man and said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. You know what you picked up. And I don't care what kind of lie the devil has told you, sin's going to turn around and it's going to bite you. And it's a deadly bite. And the only cure for the bite of sin, the poisonous of sin, is redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin. And David sent that letter, and this is what the Bible said. And Uriah said, I can't do this thing. And then down in verse 15, he wrote in the letter saying, set you Uriah on the forefront of the hottest of the battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. How low can you go? And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew the valiant men were. And the men of the city went, listen to what it says, went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Not only did David cause Uriah to be killed, but he caused other men to be killed as well. I want you to see that. And fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also, and Joab sent and told David all the things concerning what he had done. David laid with another man's wife. She became pregnant. He sent a letter of assassination by that man Uriah. But I love the scripture where they said this, where the Bible says this, that before they could kill Uriah, they had to stand him where the valiant men stood. All that I tell you, when you will not compromise, when you will not back off of the word, they might try to do you in and they might do you in, but when they find you, they gonna find you where the valiant men and women are standing. And the valiant men and women are valiant men and women that will not compromise, will not back off the word, will not come off the firing line, will not give in and not cover up anybody else's sin. And let me tell you something, the same cost the nation of Israel. This thing cost. And Joab, he even made Joab a part of this. A part. You see, when you compromise, you're not satisfied just to compromise yourself. You got your family involved too. Those of you that are laying out of church now, you set an example for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your family. When you compromising on the job and doing things you shouldn't do, you affecting everybody around you. When you're an alcoholic and you laying drunk, or you're a drug addict and you can't get off drugs, you paving the way for your children, and you putting a letter of assassination in your own children's hand. Let me tell you something. You people out there that are selling drugs and killing children and getting them hooked on this stuff, there's a payday someday, and you best repent. You best get out on your knees and ask God to forgive you and turn the tide in your life and the lives of the people that you've affected. David, when he found out Uriah was dead, he brought Bathsheba in and married her. Thought, hey, all is well. Uriah's dead. I married her. Nobody will know the difference. But God knew. God knew. And about the time when that baby was born, a knock came on the door. A knock came on the door. And it was the preacher. And Nathan, the preacher, come up to David, and he gave him a parable about one of the men in his kingdom that had taken one ewe lamb that a man had, and this man had plenty, and he took from that one, and David said, I'll kill him, I'll see he dies. And Nathan said this, David, thou art the man, thou art the man. This is what you've done. And he said, the baby that you conceived of sin is going to die. And guess what? David wept, he prayed, but the baby died. There's a consequence to sin. There's a consequence to you compromising. There's a price to pay for you trying to cover up your sin. And when David was confronted with his sin, immediately he repented. Immediately he fell before God. Immediately he asked God to cleanse him. Immediately he asked God to create him a right spirit, a clean heart. He repented, and God forgave him. But let me tell you, he had to deal with the death of his baby. He had to deal, and from that day forward, David always had trouble dealing with his own children. You see, when there's stuff in your life, and you've done stuff, you can't go up in your children's face and say, don't do that. And they say, well, you done it. Don't smoke that. Well, you smoked it. Don't snort that. Well, you snorted it. Don't drink that. Well, you drunk it. Don't go there. You going there. We got this message today, do as I say, not as I do. That ain't gonna fly. It didn't fly in biblical days. It's not flying now. Let me tell you, you gotta do what God has called you to do. You gotta live right, live holy. This thing cost David. And the prophet told David, he said, the sword will never leave your house. You always gonna have trouble in your house because of this thing that you done. I'm begging you today, don't compromise. I'm begging you today, be like Uriah. Don't let people pull you in off the front line and to lower your standard and to get you to come in and try to cover up their sin. I'm begging you today, don't be a compromiser. I'm begging you today, don't call for something that don't belong to you. Don't be laying with somebody. I know a family today that nobody in that whole family is married. They got kids hanging out every window in the house, but nobody's married. The children got 40 grandparents and 40 mamas and nannies and papas, and I never seen such a mess. What happened to get married? And listen, mamas, if the baby's daddy don't give the baby his name, you don't need to be messing with that man. If he's not sending in support for that child, you don't need to be messing with that man. If you've got children and you can't support them, something wrong with you. You need to get yourself right. Call them baby daddies. What happened to household, living in a household, working, bringing home a check and feeding your own children, giving them your name? But you know what, women? You know what, women? Let me tell you something. You let that go on. And you raising children without daddies, and you trying to support them and getting the government to support them, and you setting a lifestyle for them that's going to bring destruction. Now, I know there's times that things happen that's beyond our control, but when you know what you're doing and what it's going to cause, let me tell you, you're compromising your life and your children's life, and you're compromising your children's life. Come on, we need to wake up. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. Let me tell you, I don't care who tells you it's all right to sin. You know, we got in our country, we want to take the Ten Commandments. We don't want them to show them because we don't want nobody to be offended. You mean to tell me that you offended to put on the courthouse wall, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery? You ashamed of that? You don't want that on your walls? What do you want on you walls? Do what is right in your own sight and it feels good. Hey, we've done that in our country and you see where we are now. My gosh, people don't even know now what bathrooms to go in. They're trying to tell 4-year-old children to decide what sex they are. My God, how low can we get? My God, I pray, my God, help us. Oh, God, help us in this country. God, open our eyes. We are in a nation of compromisers. That's the reason the enemy is running over top of us, taking our finances, taking our lands, taking everything we got, and we supporting people that is just coming in and not doing it the right way. And I tell you, we're in for a fall like we've never, never seen before. Because we've compromised. Don't want anything to do with Jesus. Don't want crosses up. Don't want our school children taking a Bible to school. Don't want them to wear a cross. Don't want them to wear a t-shirt that's got Jesus. Can wear anything else, but nothing about Jesus. We've compromised. Compromised the life of our babies. 3,000 a day are being aborted in our country. 3,000 a day. We've compromised. We've come to the lowest ebb in our country. But in turnaround time, if we, like David, can repent and get ourselves back right with God, God can turn the tide and he can bless the remainder of our days. But we got to be a people that will not compromise. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. And if some way this broadcast has been an encouragement to you, write me and let me know. If you got a prayer request you want me to pray with you, I'll promise I'll pray for you. If God lays on your heart to any way to help me to stay on the air, it will be a blessing. But God bless you today, and I pray that you'll have a blessed and wonderful day in Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God is faithful, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is faithful. Thank you again for listening.